Hello, we're going to study Parshas Pinchas this week in Shul. It's one of the most jam-packed, exciting parshios in the Torah. It begins, of course, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's declaration to Moshe Rabbeinu that Pinchas brought back his anger, and that's why he gets Brisi Shalom. And thereafter, the Torah tells us, V'haisalo zaro achara bris kuhuna salam, that he and his children will have the covenant of kuhuna forevermore. Now, the Yalkut Shimoni notes that until he killed Zimri and Cusbi, Pinchas did not qualify to be a Kohen. He was stuck. He had been born prior to the declaration of Kohanim, but was not a Gadol, so therefore was not able to be inducted into the Kohuna. So this suggestion is odd, insofar as a Kohen who kills is not allowed to offer Berchas Kohanim. So why would the reward for killing be so diametrically opposed to the Kohen function not to kill? So Rav Shaul Yisraeli, the late great Rosh Yeshiva Merkaz Harav, Zatzal noted that in the desert there were two main styles of leadership, that of the Kohen and that of the Navi. The Kohen, Aaron, extended tremendous effort to meet the people where they were. However, there were times that he might have overextended, as was the case with Diego. Moshe was basically telling him, sometimes you need to remain steadfast in the Lord. You need to be a little bit of a Navi, a little bit above the people. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving Pinchas Brisi Shalom, he was telling him that, yes, I agree with you in that regard, and Pinchas is the example. That said, V'shem Yish Yisrael HaMukeh, that when the Torah goes on to describe, the style of the pasuk is a little bit awkward. These next two psukim don't seem to fit. It's all of a sudden what we would call passive voice. Now, why don't we first introduce Pinchas as the one who killed Zimri, and that Hashem was rewarding him for this, and that's it. Why don't we say, Pinchas Harag Zimri Bekanoas Hashem Lachin Emor Hineni No Sein Lois Brisi Shalom. Why the passive voice? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the late great Mirror Rosh Hashiva Zatzal, explained that once Pinchas was accepted as a Kohen, he needed to dispense with the Midah of Kanos. The Torah went out of its way to dissolve Pinchas' name with the act of Kanos by using the passive voice. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman added that when a person needs to do things that are tough, even when he's right, it influences him. A person needs to learn how to distance himself from the tough midos when they are not mitzvos, to understand that there are time and places, right, for him to be tough, and time and places for him not to be tough. And so, if it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah, that's the way it goes, but otherwise, not so. So there's an exciting tension over there that needs to be negotiated when one is doing the actions of a Pinchas. After this episode with Pinchas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a whole census of Bnei Yisrael. And we're told, Uvnei Korach Lomesu, the children of Korach didn't die. Now, the children of Korach were involved in the initial plan of Korach, but they never took the machtapans for the ultimate challenge. Rashi cites the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Kofir Amar Aleph, which notes that they had a high place in Gehenna reserved for them. What does that mean, they had a high place in Gehenna? Either they died or they didn't. So Shimon Schwab Zatzal explains that it is possible to experience Gehenna in this world too. And this may be the high place that we're referring to. It means that the children of Korach received their Gehenna in this world in the form of Yisurin. That's the message over here. We're told afterwards that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe that after he fights the battle with Midian, he's going to pass away, and Moshe immediately turns to Hashem, and he refers to him by a new title, Elokei Aruchos Lecho Basar, Hashem, the God of the spirits of everyone, should choose a leader. Rashi explains that Moshe was telling Hashem that Hashem is aware of the difficulty in choosing a leader, insofar as everyone choosing the leader has different ideas as to what he or she thinks the ideal leader would be. Rav Gifter Zatzal added that this is why Moshe specified Haruchos, the God of the Spirit. Differences, notes Rav Gifter, come from the body, not the soul. Differences are often cloaked in the demarcation between people, which will often come from the mind, are motivated by the body, where the body is finite, and it has the concept of division. Souls, on the other hand, rise above differences and connect to common sources. Hashem wanted the chosen leader to be from that style. He wanted him to be able to find commonality among the people, and that's the message to be contained over here. And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees with Moshe, and he says, V'nasata mehot chalav, you need to give of your glory to him. The Gemara notes that Pnei Moshe kemnei achamo, Pnei Yeshua kemnei alavana, oilo oso bush, oilo oso klima. Woe unto Yeshua for that embarrassment. But what embarrassment is there in reflecting Moshe's Torah? So Reb Zalman Saratzkin Zatzal explained that the embarrassment is in the fact that the moon doesn't wonder who will reflect its light when it goes out. And similarly, Yoshua didn't name a successor, and as a result, there was a long time of Ish Hayasha Bein Avyasa, everybody doing that which he or she felt they wanted to do. That's also not acceptable. We're told by Yismo Chesyadav Alav that he placed his hands on his head. Now, though it seems to be the source of the concept of smicha, we don't give smicha that way today. In fact, the old style of smicha itself is no longer given, as it requires an unbroken chain and conferral in the land of Israel. Today, that would be impossible. So why do we do smicha today? So Mari V'Rabbi Rav Shechter Shlita explained that even though we no longer confer original smicha, we can still fill Rebbe's institution that one cannot issue piskei halacha rulings or even recommendations, as the Rambam writes, without asking permission from one's Rebbe first. When a Rebbe feels that a student is qualified to give halachic advice, he will give the student permission to do so. Smicha today authorizes numus machim to respond to halachic questions. Its purpose is more to adhere to a statement of the Rebbe than a commemoration of what smicha used to be. But a person needs to also understand that's an important lesson. Rabbi Google is not a Rav Hamasmich, and we need to understand that in our lives. Unfortunately, that's something that tends to get lost. By Yismoch HaSyadav Alav, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu put his hands on him. Now Hashem had only told Moshe to place his hand, and Moshe responded by putting both hands on Yoshua's head. And the Gemara notes that this teaches us that a person can be jealous of everyone except for his son or his student. And why is that the case? So Rabbi Dr. Ruvain Bolka Zatzal, who was nifter this week, a wonderful gem of a Rav in Canada, suggested that no one forces parenthood or teaching onto a person. That we choose these choices gives us an ability to realize that we're not jealous of those who are the beneficiaries, and that we can throw 100% of ourselves into the next generation. There's no jealousy over there. So by giving 100% of ourselves to them, then we are basically saying we have no fear, and quite the opposite, we are proud of what the next one has. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read the first of the Gimel de Paranusa, the first of the three Haftorahs of difficulty. And in it, we are introduced to Yirmiyahu HaNavi. And at the time we introduce ourselves to Yirmiyahu HaNavi, gets a vision, and he's asked, what do you see? And he says, Makel Shakeda Niroeh, I see a staff with almonds. And Rav Asher Weiss Shalita, the great Gaon of Yerushalayim, notes that it's not for naught that the vision of destruction begins with the staff of almonds. Almonds begin bitter, but end up sweet. And the same thing is true for the long and hard exile. It begins in a harsh manner, but it's necessary for the future of our people to end in a sweet manner. We are so looking forward to that day, and may HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring us there quickly in our days. Shabbat Shalom to all.